WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. It still feels like we're in the middle of summer. Here's CBS's Christiane Benavides.
Across large parts of the nation, September is feeling a lot more like August. With the temperature topping 90 degrees in New York City, the heat is a worry for Emily Rodriguez, who has asthma.
It's just like when I come out, as soon as I take that first breath of air, I can feel it in my chest.
Environmental justice advocates say a lack of green space in Rodriguez's South Bronx neighborhood only makes matters worse.
A manhunt continues in Chester County, Pennsylvania, for a convicted killer who broke out of prison last week, scaling two walls and through razor wire before jumping to freedom. KYW-TV's Nikki Dementri with more.
Hundreds of police officers, along with federal agencies, including the FBI and Border Patrol, are flooding yards and searching cars. A train passing through the area was stopped and also searched.
Everything that I'm able to see lead me to believe that he is still there in that area.
Police say Cavalcante was last seen near the area they're searching.
A new report on embattled Congressman George DeSantis and the many lies he's told. Our Scott McFarlane is on Capitol Hill.
CBS News has learned that inside the Santos campaign, multiple campaign aides asked Santos to drop out of the race. When he refused to, those aides quit the job.
Mexico's Supreme Court has voted to decriminalize abortion.
In a unanimous decision, Mexico's highest court said the legal system that penalizes abortion was unconstitutional. The decision means women across Mexico will have access to abortion without the fear of being arrested. It also means government hospitals cannot refuse to perform abortions. The decision was immediately hailed by Mexican groups fighting for reproductive rights. Adrian Bard, CBS News, Mexico City.
Some new helmets for NFL quarterbacks.
It has a wider field of peripheral view than any helmet on the market. So players can see the field. They can locate the ball more quickly. They can see a blocker coming.
Vicey's co-founder Dave Marver says the helmets will have a soft shell to help players avoid concussions. Carl Nassib, who made history in 2021 when he became the first openly gay player in the NFL, has announced his retirement. He said while it wasn't an easy choice, he felt it was time to move on to the next chapter. Nassib became a free agent last year and had not signed on to a team. Throughout his career, the linebacker played for the Cleveland Browns and also the Las Vegas Raiders. He was also a captain of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Fig Newton lover, of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
I guess my biggest takeaway, if we're going to start with the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, holy crap, Janet. Maybe you could pull this for one of our bump musics.
Damn it, Janet.
Yes!
Yeah.
Damn it, Janet. I love you.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the September 6th Wednesday edition of As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry, and today I want to start with talking about a tale of two impeachments. One having to do with Texas and one having to do in Wisconsin. And they're very different because Greg Bach on the board, what do you feel like impeachments should be reserved for?
They should, first of all, good morning.
Good morning.
They should be reserved for those who have committed or are alleged to have been committed egregious offenses to their offices or to society that have evidence and
evidence
and things of that nature, and you know, go forward with a lot of confidence that we know, hey, this individual did X, Y, and Z, so we're going to do A, B, and C to make sure that they are taken out of office in a prompt and judicious fashion.
Yeah, that was a good answer.
Thank you.
So let's start with our southern border in Texas. Because yesterday, the impeachment trial of Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton began. And this is after he's already been impeached by he is a Republican. And he has been impeached by a Republican-led state house on charges of bribery, obstruction to justice, and misuse of funds. And so this is, he's a firebrand conservative Republican. He's aligned himself with Donald Trump. So there could be some politics at play, but objectively, this guy has done crimes. Like, he is actually been a part of corruption and crimes, and he's been suspended from his duties since he is impeached since May. And so he's been, the scandals include, he remains under indictment on securities fraud charges. He faces an additional federal investigation after former staffers accused him of accepting bribes and abusing his office. It was his request for a $3.3 million in state funds for a settlement with those whistleblowers that prompted the state house GOP to impeach Paxton in a 121-23 vote. And so, like, there is a lot here when we're talking about the impeachment case that's happening in Texas.
It's a beefy case.
It's a beefy case. There's, you know, guy's done some things wrong. Versus the threat of impeachment that is happening in Wisconsin right now. And I don't know if we've spent enough time on it because I just didn't, I feel like it was like, oh, is this a veiled threat? We've talked about it some with Dan Schaefer. I did my video for Journal Sentinel on it this week. But it's starting to seem like, oh, this, they may actually, they being the GOP and Robin Voss, like they may actually die on this hill of they are so scared to lose their supermajority by having new maps that they would upend democracy in Wisconsin and not think twice about it.
A really quick question for you, Kristen, as a point of order, just to, can you list all of Justice Janet's crimes? I'd like to know.
The crimes and corruption she's done in her 1 month of being in office?
Yes, please. Can you just let the listeners know every egregious thing she's done thus far?
So basically, not a lot.
Oh.
Not a lot. She's not, it's not securities fraud. It's not bribery. It's not obstruction of justice.
Is she even having an affair?
She is not, that I know of.
Good Lord.
Don't ask Wisconsin right now, though, because they still are very upset that no one took their claims of her using the N-word very seriously after, you know, they had so many credible sources and when they were trying to get that story to blow up.
Right.
But if you haven't been following this, this is all over the fact that last January in a forum, when asked about our current maps, she said that they were rigged and that she would enjoy getting to have a new look at them. And from that statement, now there is the accusation that there's no way she can be impartial and thus she needs to recuse herself. And if she doesn't recuse herself, the GOP lawmakers will impeach her. And as of right now, as of yesterday, so they did file complaints about this, and the Judicial Commission dismisses complaints filed over Janet Protasiewicz's campaign comments. So, but it doesn't really matter, right? Like, they can still go through with this because all they need is a simple majority in the House, which they have.
Let me tell you, they're simple.
And they need a supermajority, two-thirds majority in the Senate, which they have, and that would be to both impeach her and convict her. But here's the rub. Because the fact is, you'd think, all right, well, if they impeach her, then Governor Evers can just appoint that person immediately and replace her immediately. Sucks for Janet, but as far as the liberal majority, we move on. But the thing is, there's no requirement for the Senate to conduct a trial. So the House could and probably would vote to impeach her. She would be immediately suspended from her duties. And then she would be in like a judicial limbo sitting there because there would never be a trial in the Senate. And so the court would be stuck at 3-3. And at that point, the only thing that can really happen is, despite the fact that this was like a $50 million campaign and all of the work that she put into actually getting elected and was elected by 11 points, she could step down entirely to open up a spot to then let Governor Evers appoint someone new. But there's so many things about this that are so effed up. Because one, clearly the voters didn't have a problem that she said that, right?
Correct.
And furthermore, if this is the tool that they're going to use now, that all they need is a simple majority to basically, like, every time they don't like something, they're just going to put people in these limbos where they get impeached, immediately suspended, but never convicted. And it's just consolidating their power into one legislative branch. Like, I don't, if you are, even if you are a Republican, a conservative, how can you get on board with this?
I think, I'm not sure if it was the Bulwark or the Journal Sentinel referred to this as their nuclear option. And that's a very good way of putting it, because that has consequences.
Well, and it was the Bulwark specifically that, and Charlie Sykes, who obviously knows Wisconsin politics very, very well, I knows these people very, very well. Like, I was listening to his podcast yesterday, and he was saying, he's like, I know Robin Voss well. Like, and he has always been a smart politician. But this is potential political suicide, because yeah, basically what would happen is if she were to, not recuse herself, but step down, whomever Tony Evers would appoint would have to be, that person would only serve for the rest of this year, and they would have to be up for election in the spring.
Yep.
So we would now have we just got through the $50 million most expensive judicial Supreme Court race in the country, in history, this year. And we potentially would do it in the spring of 2024 in a presidential election year where, and this is what but Charlie Sykes wrote in his newsletter yesterday, was basically like, where now on top of what was on the board, what was on the ballot last year, which was largely abortion, but also fair maps and a slew of other cases, now you're also adding like democracy and the rule of law. And in a presidential year, and you're once again putting abortion front and center on a losing issue for Republicans. Like, how do they, and this is, I mean, it's all, and the thing is, the thing that's is most craziest to me is most likely with fair maps, Republicans would still have a majority. Not a huge majority, but they would still have a majority.
Yeah.
And so they are risking and doing, like, they are potentially going to do such a dramatic, potentially catastrophic move that is wildly unprecedented just because they're so scared of losing their supermajority. And what does that say? That they know that they're that bad that they could never win without these districts?
Well, it's saying that, and it's also saying, if I don't, like, at you, as you just said, if I don't get my way, I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. And on the campaign trail next year, it will be, you as Wisconsinites voted for Janet. You put her in office by a resounding majority, and now they took it away from you, and they don't believe in Wisconsin, and they don't believe in you as voters, and they don't believe in democracy. That is going to be screamed from the hills for months.
And not only that, and we'll talk about this on the other side of the break, but, I mean, if you don't forget that the Democratic Party of Wisconsin has a war chest, and they have been, Ben Wickler has been very good at raising money, and much better at raising money than the Wisconsin GOP. And we'll talk about it, more details in it and then after the break, but they've already announced that, like, they will go, there is going to be a full-fledged campaign to try to dissuade Republicans from following through on this. And that, like, the amount of ads and organizing that is going to be around this is going to be full force.
Yeah.
So we would love to hear from you on this, but this just feels like it's not that I wasn't taking it seriously, but it's starting to feel like this could actually happen.
Yeah.
And it's way worse than maybe we are even giving it credit for. So 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Shoot us a text, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you on the topic of this wild potential impeachment. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Wisconsin traditions have been built for years around the Badgers, game day, and the mascot. But lead miners are the original Badgers in the state, not the animal or the mascot. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like Badgers by digging tunnels into the hillsides to stay warm and sleep where they worked. It led to the reason why today you really can't think of Wisconsin without thinking Badgers. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies here for us in the overnight. North winds and 55 degrees by sunrise. Those clouds will stay put tomorrow. Your Thursday high, 67 degrees. North winds 5 to 10. Friday sunshine is back and we're up to 74. It's 57 at our studios.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. He is Greg Bach. And we are lamenting, and I think trying to press home how serious this would be if Robin Voss and Republican lawmakers in Wisconsin's legislature actually decide to move forward with impeaching Janet Protasiewicz because she said the maps were rigged on her campaign, because it basically sets precedent that all you need is a bare partisan majority to remove any judge in any case at any time for any reason. And if you think that they're only going to do that once they've done it once, you are delusional. And so the idea that this isn't, this seems to be a bigger deal. And I know that as of yesterday, Ben Wickler and the Wisconsin, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin held a press conference. So we'll cover a little bit more of what they said as far as what their $4 million plus blitz to counter this might look like. And we can also talk a little bit more about the Judicial Commission that dismissed complaints over this. I know less about what standing that has over the legislature, if they can just act regardless of that commission. But maybe Joe from Appleton, since he is a lawyer, can let me know. Joe, what say you?
I'm not sure what I'm going to be able to let you know. I'm not sure I have all my thoughts together on this, but I can say that this nuclear option is definitely crossing the Rubicon, so to speak. I know we probably thought, well, they've done that 100 times already, but how can you go back from this? If they were to take away the people's chosen justice and not even give her a chance in the Senate and just keep it in limbo, I mean, how could they possibly come back from this?
I know.
I actually believe that there are still members of the old guard of the Republican Party still in power, still really driving the ship, but who, if you had showed them 10 years ago what the party would be looking like today, they would be aghast.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're in a position where they either believe they, as a party, would not be able to survive a self-correction to say, oh, wait, let's step back. We're going too far. We're in the wrong here. They either think that they would not survive that politically, or they don't have the power within their own ranks to force a self-correction, that they ceded too much power to the MAGA mind virus to be able to force a self-correction in their party. And you know the number one rule in MAGA is never take an L, never admit defeat, never be wrong. So they're just going to continue to drive the ship into the iceberg, essentially. And there's going to be, unfortunately, a fair number of people in their party who are okay with that. They would rather have that. They would rather bring the whole thing down if they can drive the ship into the iceberg, if it means that the people on the other side of the ship will drown too. So there's my take.
Oh, no, it's a good one. And I have less confidence that there are, because the thing that matters most right now is the stronghold that Robin Voss has over his caucus in the assembly, right? And because that's all they need is to basically impeach her and then hamstring her, right? And so even if they didn't have the votes, even if there were still enough senators in the state Senate, Republican senators in the state Senate who are like, this is not a good idea, it's kind of out of their hands as far as their ability to stop this, because they can choose not to convict her. But if they never move forward with after the impeachment, like what's going on in Texas right now, it doesn't matter. And so this is Robin Voss's circus.
Indeed it is. If it does get to the point where, okay, they vote to impeach her and the Senate doesn't move, I mean, the Dems are going to have to be, unfortunately, pushing Protasiewicz to resign. One, because we got to get somebody else then in her place, and that would happen, we'd have a replacement at least until next year. But then what's going to be piled up against the Republicans in 24? You got abortion's going to be back on the table.
Mm-hmm.
That was not going to be an issue, but all of a sudden, abortion's back on the table, anti-democracy, and most likely they're going to be having, and also on the ticket is a four-time indicted felon on the presidential ticket. So it's everything's going to fall apart for them in 24 if they go this route. But I just don't know if they have the ability, as I said, to steer clear of this disaster. I hope to God that there are enough sane minds in there saying, look, we can't do this. It'd be a disaster for our party and for the state in general. But I don't know.
Things
seem to be getting worse and worse on the other side.
I know. And they also still don't even have, they have one. There's one person who's announced a Republican Senate campaign who is not of the establishment at all. But as far as,
right,
like, the student, and so right? the backed candidate still hasn't announced, and it is September 6th, folks. So thanks so much for the call, Joe. Always appreciate it. If you have thoughts on the ludicrousy, is that a word?
It is now.
Ludicrousness?
I think it's
ludicrousy. I'm going to look it up at the break.
Ridiculousness.
The insanity of where we are as a state right now, just constantly the political circus that is Wisconsin, and that this is happening in our state, and Robin Voss is willing to put us all through this just so he can hold on to his supermajority. We would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. And then when we come back, we will have some other good news, some bad news, and another reason not to move to Florida. But we'll also wrap up on this topic, especially with what the Democrats are planning in response. So stay tuned. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. And we'll be right back.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
CBS News Brief. Having no AC in this heat is miserable and dangerous. Horace Mann Elementary School in D.C. is dealing with it, and parents are frustrated.
I was shocked. I couldn't believe that we didn't have something as basic as air conditioning, especially knowing that there was going to be 95-plus degree heat.
Convicted killer Danilo Cavalcante still on the run after escaping from a Pennsylvania county prison last week. Acting warden Howard Holland.
Cavalcante escaped at the same location as Igor Bolt, but for Cavalcante, there was razor wire to contend with before reaching the roof.
Learning more about a Syrian report that details many of the lies told by Congressman George Santos.
A prequel, if not a preview, of the scandals that surround Congressman Santos. There are so many parallels in this internal opposition research report to the troubles Santos faces today, including the criminal charges.
That's correspondent Scott McFarlane, CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you.
And you could be me. For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. And is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board, not on the phone. And we are talking about the escalation of the threat to impeach Janet Protasiewicz. And yesterday, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin and a coalition of unnamed allied groups, at least the DPW, held a press conference and told reporters during the briefing that the party and other groups are going to launch an, quote, intensive, multi-pronged statewide campaign today to make clear to Wisconsin Republicans that an attempt to impeach Janet Protasiewicz would be an absolute political, moral, and constitutional disaster. And so the campaign that's being put forward by DPW and associated groups is trying to basically force GOP lawmakers to, quote, look in the mirror and ask if they're willing to sign a death warrant for democracy in our state. And it's going to include door knocking, phone calls, text messages, digital outreach. And we will see what happens. But I would say, like, if you consider, don't underestimate the DPW, especially when it comes to statewide organizing. When you look at the scoreboard of statewide elections in Wisconsin since Ben Wickler, specifically since Ben Wickler has become head of the party. And I think this is warranted, because I think this is, if you think about what turnout was like, what the final count was with the 11-point difference of how many people for a spring election in a nonpartisan race turned out to vote for Janet Protasiewicz, and that they would dare impeach her before she's even heard a single single case. I don't know what else beyond what we've been talking about since January 6th, 2021, of like not like talking about what it is to just not accept election results. This is that. All right. We have two people on the phone. Let's take Jack from Merrimack first. Jack, are you upset about this as I am?
This is absolutely ridiculous. The arrogance of the Republicans in our legislature seems to know no limits. They've had 13 years of consequence-free actions, inactions, taking a vacation for three quarters of a year twice out of the last 3 years, and generally speaking, using the people's money as their own personal slush fund in order to do things like bogus investigations. By the way, the Kelly investigation, apparently it's well over $2 million now, and it looks like it's going to escalate even farther. They hired their own Republican attorney instead of going through the DOJ as they're supposed to do. But here, I think they're going to actually try to do this.
I know.
I think they're going to try to impeach Protasiewicz. And, you know, she got more votes than the sum of every single Republican in the stolen legislature. This would disenfranchise over a million Wisconsinites. And that's what this is really about. They can't, you know, they've already bragged about, you know, how they have convinced some people not to vote. They clearly are looking at disenfranchising more people, students. That's partly what this is all about.
That's their playbook.
Now I'm wondering, you know, this is at least an abuse of power. I'm wondering if it doesn't rise to the level of obstruction of justice.
And this is where I don't know enough of, like, what are the limitations? Because it just feels like to me, and this is also rings true of when they stripped powers from Governor Evers during the duck session when Scott Walker was still in power. It's just consolidating power into their legislative branch instead of having the balance between the three the way it's supposed to be because of how power hungry they are, and they can't let go. And they don't have any interest in actually responding to the will of the people because, as Jane likes to say, they know best. So thanks for the call, Jack, so much. Moving on to Jim from Fond du Lac. How do you feel about the situation? Jim?
Yeah.
Jim, we're on air. How do you feel about the situation?
Yeah, what did she end up saying that she wants to impeach her?
What did she say?
Yes.
So what this is all pending on is back in January when it was still a four-person race and there was a forum, there was the question about the maps as they stand today. And she said she feels like they're rigged and that she would like to have the chance to look at them again, but that she would be impartial if that case were to come before her.
How would she be impartial by using that language?
But also, I mean, if you remember, Kelly also said that he thought the maps were fine. So how is that any different if he still gave his opinion on what the maps were before he was elected?
It doesn't matter if you're a local judge, so the United States Supreme Court judge. You can't prejudge a case without hearing it.
But how are you going to prove that she prejudged the case?
She said it.
But that's not prejudging the case. That's asking her personal opinion about the current maps.
How she prejudged it already, though.
How do you prove that?
Your mouth shut. She said it.
But how do you prove? She also said that she thinks that women have the right to choose, and so they're not dying on that hill.
Exactly.
But this gets into First Amendment case. This gets into First Amendment. This is why. And also, the Judicial Commission just dismissed all of these complaints.
Yes, but she still spoke it.
Yeah, but if the commission that is set up to monitor these things is saying this was not a violation of anything, then what? How are you standing on this?
It is because it's the same as any judge. You go in the jury, yeah, you're a murderer until you hear the evidence. You can't prejudge a trial, a case, as a judge. I'm not on either side, but she should have kept her mouth shut.
So then Kelly should have kept his mouth shut, too? So you think we'd be here right now if Kelly would have been elected?
Exactly.
You really think so? You really think we'd be in the same situation?
Yeah. Probably.
How do you figure that? How do you not figure that this is completely a partisan political play? Because there would be no ramifications for Kelly because he is on the same side as the majority in the legislature.
That's just my opinion.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Jim.
If nothing.
It's just like, I don't know how else to say, like, if these are the checks and balances that have been put into place and the commission yesterday said we're dismissing these complaints saying that she didn't violate anything. I don't know how else to counter your argument that she prejudged it just because you were thinking that she prejudged it.
Well, no, and that's where I'll give Jim some credit too. He said that Kelly shouldn't have said anything as well. Would we be in the same spot? Absolutely not. No, but hey, consistency.
And this is the point that Joe just made that I should have made, but it's like when she was asked a hypothetical situation, a hypothetical question, there was no case. There was no lawsuit. There was no evidence, no filings, no responses. And so when they say I would be impartial once the case is laid out in front of me and I look at the merits of the case, that is different than being asked a hypothetical situation in a forum. And also, let's not even get into the fact of, don't we have three Supreme Court justices sitting right now who said that they respect precedent? When they were asked hypothetical questions, and no one really cared when they totally flipped on that.
They had their fingers crossed behind their backs. Spicy time.
It's just exhausting. It is exhausting to live in this state sometimes. It's interesting. It's certainly never boring. But as far as being as idealistic as I know that I can be and just the constant, like, oh no, we're not going to just do that. Like we're going to continue to find a loophole to slow down any effort to correct course on where we've been for the last 12 years. And it's not about, and it's at least for me, it's not about Democrats winning. It's about just getting back to fairness, responsiveness, accountability, actually having a cohesive, cooperating government that tries to get things done instead of just winning all the time, like their side wins. And I don't see any way towards that without us getting fair maps and without us getting having the opportunity to elect politicians who are not in the like pocket of certain Bradley Foundation type folks or just like whipped by Robin Voss. Like everything I've ever been told about people who served prior to the changing of the tides in 2010 is that most of the people who had a spine in the Republican Party have left.
Oh, God.
Because they don't want to deal with him. And so it's just a bunch of people who cower to this one man who can have this much power in our state by merely getting 16,000 votes every 2 years. He represents such a small part of the state and yet wields so much power and influence over all of us. And it is wildly frustrating. And he looks like a ferret. I had to say it.
Well, the popcorn king can't be perfect for everybody, Kristen. All right.
I'm tired. I'm ornery. I'm hormonal and I'm pregnant.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you're speaking my language on this. I've been frustrated with the man for a long time. I mean, when I worked in local government, without being told, but basically being told, we're not going to give you anything because your city doesn't vote for me. It's insanity.
Yeah.
Like, I walked into city government with, like, the idea, I'm a dork. I watched the West Wing, so I'm like, I want to do some good. But we came in on the wave of the Tea Party, and on that Tea Party wave was being captained by Robin Voss.
Man, that must have been, because you worked on the Obama campaign in 2008, right?
Correct.
So you went from this unbelievable high of grassroots movements, young people organizing across the country, elect Barack Obama. You want to stay in government. You want to work in local government. You get that job. And then the Tea Party comes in Wisconsin. And it's like, oh, this feels different.
Just running into, it was like constantly, it was constantly running into a wall, constantly being told no. And with snark too, like just like, no, we're not going to do that. It's not. Not in the cards for you this time. Well, it's never going to be in the cards for us because I worked in a city. And yeah, it was, you're right. You go from that overwhelming, like just almost euphoric / utopian thing of watching people who are like, I've never voted for a Democrat before and I'm voting for, I'm like, oh my gosh, the world is changing. And then literally like a year and a half later, I'm like, if I jump off this building, will it kill me or I just break my legs? Because I hate this. I really hate local government. I don't hate the people. It was just so frustrating.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to end on this. Well, Dylan just tweeted on the Facebook live stream, said, how did we get here? Making the judicial branch political has gotten us into a world of hurt. Totally agree. I wish that judges were actually nonpartisan. I do as well. I mean, this also goes back to, is it a good idea for us to elect judges or not, or justices or not? That's a whole other can of worms we only have a minute left until break, so we're going to end it there. But this saga is certainly not over, so I'm sure we're going to have more opportunity to complain about it, try to understand it, maybe organize to do something about it. But stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org / empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies here for us in the overnight. North winds at 55 degrees by sunrise. Those clouds will stay put tomorrow. Your Thursday high, 67 degrees. North winds 5 to 10. Friday sunshine is back and we're up to 74. It's 57 at our studios.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Your home for the...
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. He is Greg Bach. And I have taken a breath. And I've also found out that ludicrousy is the noun form of ludicrous. So I was right.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I know that no one said I was wrong, but I sometimes when words come out of my mouth, I'm like, did I make that up? Or did I actually read that somewhere?
There's always been a word I wanted to make up or I wanted to catch on. Despision.
Which means?
The amount to which one despises.
Is that a real word?
It's not a real world
word at all.
But that's just me.
Despision. Can you use it in a sentence?
It is, Robin Voss is someone I hold in great despision.
Oh.
It doesn't make sense, but in my head it works.
What would a real word synonym be to finish that sentence?
I have a great degree of dislike.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. I like what you did there. All right. To end on a higher note.
Yeah.
Instead of a ranty note. Have you been able? Well, because the next hour we're going to actually talk about this Spectrum Charter Disney kerfuffle. So if you were someone who was affected by Spectrum just going dark with certain channels last week and into this week, and it affecting your ability to watch the U.S. Open or football. We are going to talk about that next hour. And we're specifically going to talk about, like, how do you watch TV now? And is cable dying? Because on top of this fight between Disney and Charter and what that could mean for cable channels, broadcast and cable made up less than 50% of TV usage in July. So, like, less and less people are even consuming their television, the TV that they watch, via cable. And so I'm interested in hearing from people as far as where do they stream, how much do they spend on streaming services compared to what a cable bill would be, and just, like, where this, like, messiness of how to consume content through your television looks like for you. But we're doing that at 11:30 in the next hour, and we're going to push our good, bad, and another reason to not move to Florida to the top of the next hour. But for now, were you affected by Spectrum at all and your ability to watch the U.S. Open?
I do not have cable.
Oh, so how do you watch sports when you want to watch sports?
I utilize the ESPN add-on on Hulu.
Ah, so. All right.
So you're
one of those people who only streams.
Mm-hmm. Only streams. No cable in the household. We only have internet. That's it. There's no point at this juncture because everything we watch that would be on cable or even network is on streaming now.
Yeah.
But I will say this. The amount of money we pay for streaming far outweighs a cable bill every month.
How many different services do you? Well, we'll bank it.
Yeah,
we'll talk about it next hour.
Oh yeah.
Because I want to talk about. I've mostly just watched clips so far. I haven't watched an entire match of the U.S. Open. You've said it's been boring.
It's not, it's been predictable.
Okay.
I shouldn't say boring. It's just nothing. There hadn't been any great upsets at that. By the time we talked about it, and it's still wonderful to watch. I love watching the U.S. Open. It's one of my highlights of the year. But this year, there's not been like, oh my gosh, you know, an unseeded, booted Daniil Medvedev out of the U.S. Open, like, which happened a lot the past 2 years.
But what I have noticed is that there are specifically four young, very entertaining Black American players who, I guess, this has actually made history as far as, it's Francis, is it Tiafoe? Is that how you pronounce it?
Francis Tiafoe.
So Francis Tiafoe and Ben Shelton played yesterday, and it was the first time in 15 years that two Black Americans made it to the quarterfinals, and then Shelton ended up winning, so he's now off to the semifinals. And he's now the youngest American man in over 30 years to reach the semifinals. And that was an upset, wasn't it? Wasn't Tiafoe ranked higher?
He was ranked higher, yeah. But people, Shelton's kind of rocketing his way past everybody. Okay. So it was like Carlos Alcaraz and Emma Raducanu 2 years ago, where at first you're like, who are these two children? And they're just beating everyone. So...
And then Coco Gauff.
Coco Gauff was amazing.
Amazing. Also incredibly entertaining to watch. Yep. She's 19. She's the first American teen to reach the U.S. Open semifinals since Serena Williams in 2001.
Yep.
She also has been wildly entertaining to watch. And then Taylor Townsend, who I've seen, I've really only seen like TikTok clips and like highlights of all these people, but all of them feel very entertaining to watch.
Yeah, I mean, they're very entertaining. They're all just full of energy and life and excitement. They love playing. They love being in on the court. And, you know, going back Saturday, as of Saturday, there were five Americans in the round of 16, which was unheard of.
I was going to say, so that's like, that's a pretty high percentage.
That's a high percentage. Usually we're out in like the pre-qualifiers of the pre-qualifiers, and they're like, eh, give an American one. It's fine. But like this year, we have a real showing this year, and it's fantastic to watch.
Is there anything, because it's such an individual sport.
Yeah.
Is there anything like in the water that why there's like a new upcoming class of young American tennis players, or is it kind of just random?
I mean, you'd have to talk to an expert about that one. I would just say there's a lot. I think they're with the Williams sisters sort of in the last of their career moving on, their influence on those younger kids is starting to show. And there's been a real push to get tennis into communities where it normally wasn't because of, you know, the privilege, because of the cost, and you're seeing kids just able to access this now. And I think you're going to see a new wave of at least young Americans coming through and just dominating, which is going to be amazing to watch. Ben Shelton is fantastic to watch. He's a great player, and his energy is off the charts. Francis Tiafoe is amazing. Like, they just bring so much to the table as far as the skill and the entertainment value to watching them perform. I just say perform, honestly. I know that sounds crazy, but it's true.
Well, isn't that what the German... Wasn't that what the German player that Coco Gauff beat was crying about?
Oh, yeah.
I meant... Tennis is... We are entertainers.
Yeah.
And they were so disrespectful to me.
Everyone's like, save it.
All right. Well, when we come back at the top of the hour, we are going to talk about some good headlines, some bad headlines, and another reason you should not move to Florida. And then at the second half of the hour at 11:30, how do you watch your TV these days? We would love to hear from you. But for now, we're taking a break for the top of the hour news. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stay tuned.
The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, yeah. StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there. I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Fig Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.